You're listening to This Naked Mind with Annie Griss.
Hi, this is Annie Grace, and welcome to This Naked Mind podcast. And I'm here with Janelle. Welcome, Janelle. How are you?
Thanks. I'm really great. Excited to be here. How are you?
Oh, I'm so good. So why don't you sort of take me back to the beginning in your relationship with alcohol? Where did it all start for you?
Sure. So it started when I was 13. Alcohol was pretty accessible to me because my friends' parents had it out, or like we just got it from around us. And I started drinking then, and I only drank until I was 21. So I had 8 years of drinking, and then I got sober. But yeah, my early days of drinking were pretty messy. I was sort of a binge drinker from the start. I didn't really have the ability to moderate. And that carried throughout my whole drinking period.
And so, yeah, so in when you've had those first drinks, like, how did they feel to you? Were you loving it, not loving it?
That's a great question. Yeah, I loved it. I feel like I just was so excited for the effect. I sort of felt like uncomfortable in my skin. I had a lot of issues at home and like issues with my body that drinking sort of solved, it felt like. It felt like when I drank that my worries slipped away and I was like, okay. So that's what alcohol did for me for a while.
Right, cool. And then what happened?
Yeah, I mean, it stopped doing that after a while and started causing problems. I had experience with drugs as well, but it all just sort of started to get really messy. It was messy from the start, but I started to have more consequences at the end, like more internal consequences, I think. In the beginning, it was like arrests and like that sort of thing, and like, you know, getting sexually assaulted or like things that were really horrible. But at the end, it was more internal, where I just felt like crap about myself. You know, I went to AA for a period of time, and they talk about like a spiritual loss of values or like a spiritual bottom. And I think that that sort of happened to me, where I just felt like I hated myself and I was really unhappy with the choices that I was making. So that was my experience.
So yeah, why don't you tell me more about kind of this time in your life and what you decided to do?
Yeah. So I had a bottom where I got drunk and I ended up waking up in my community shower. I was the RA, the resident assistant of the college, and I woke up naked in my community shower. Like, how did I get here? And I went to the counseling center, and she was able to tell me to go to AA. And I found that helpful for a while. I actually went to AA for 9 years and stayed sober that way. But I feel like more recently I've been able to do it by myself. Like I found that AA wasn't helpful anymore. I loved it for a long time, but I feel like it got in the way of me trusting myself. And I really like how you talk about like feeling something instead of like changing a behavior, like changing a feeling. And my relationship with alcohol started to feel like I just was supposed to not be doing it. And I really hated that. Like I hated that I was told that I shouldn't be doing it. And instead I started to feel like, well, what would happen if I just decided that that's just a thing I don't want to do because I don't want to do it, you know, and not because of someone else telling me that I'm an alcoholic or that I think I'm an alcoholic or that I think something's wrong with my drinking. It's not a helpful pattern for me anymore. So I don't want to do it. Like I started to sort of feel that way instead of, you know, the AA way, I guess.
And did that feel scary to you?
That's a really good question. Yeah. At first it was super scary. Because I had just been sober through AA for so long that like the idea of letting it go was a really scary thought. But I feel like I asked a lot of people, like I was in multiple 12-step programs, and I asked people like, what should I do all the time? Like I just ran by them. Like, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I not do this? And I didn't have like this level of self-trust that I really value and wanted. So that's what I sought out when I left AA, was like, how can I improve my self-trust and start to learn that I actually can do this? Like I can do this on my own. I can do this without like a higher power that I don't even believe in or like any of those sort of things. I can just trust myself.
So when you were like attending meetings and you started to have these thoughts and you were thinking about kind of going out on your own, can you talk to me about like that process? Was that, did you tell people? Did you not tell people? Did you just kind of ghost? How did that work?
Yeah, I talked to a lot of people about it over the course of like maybe 6 months. Before I decided to leave, I would talk to people who had left and get their experiences. And it ranged from like, I left and I'm drinking and I'm happy, to I left and I don't drink, to like anything in between. I'm drinking and I'm not happy. Like I talked to a lot of people who had different experiences, and I just started to figure out that that was what I wanted, is to just leave. And but I decided that I still wanted to be, you know, free of alcohol, because I feel like it's just a benefit to my life. Like I feel like I live better without alcohol. So yeah, that process for me was talking to a lot of people, and then eventually being really honest with my friends and saying like, this isn't working for me anymore. And I actually did lose some friends over that. Unfortunately, I lost some friends over leaving, and not all of them, but that was sad to me, that like my relationship with them was contingent on 12-step programs.
Yeah, that's always so hard. No matter what scenario or situation it is, like when your friendships are contingent on participating in a similar thing, that's always can be really challenging. I've had that same experience with alcohol. Friendships contingent on drinking in a kind of unspoken way, not maybe so overt of a way, but definitely it did not get those invites anymore, or things got strange and awkward and strained. Once I stopped drinking, so I can relate.
That's a good point. That happened to me when I stopped drinking too.
Oh, so you got it when you stopped drinking, then you got it when you made a shift in how you were approaching not drinking. I'd be just so curious to know more about like what wasn't working for you, specifically that really prompted this.
Yeah, I think, like I said, the biggest thing is like that self-trust piece. I really wanted to like just take my life into my own hands, I guess. I felt like I was leaning too heavily on my fellows and on my sponsor. Like my sponsor was like, I don't know, like a god. Like my sponsor, I did everything my sponsor told me to do. And I found that after a while, I was just like, why am I not like trusting? I have a decade of sobriety. Like at the time, I had 9 years of sobriety, and I'm like, I don't even trust my own experiences, you know, and I didn't trust that I had like the answers within me. So that was the biggest driving factor, was that I wanted to learn to trust those answers within me, trust my experiences that I had, and know that I could make decisions that were good for me. And that wasn't perfect, but you know, I'm still sober, and yeah, I'm trying to think what else. The higher power thing just still is like a sticky point for me. You know, I'm a little agnostic, and so it's just challenging for me to like think of turning my life over to something that I may or may not believe in.
And so when you were getting sober, when you were first in it, like how did that work for you? Was it just you were just super willing to kind of, yeah, just how did that work?
Yeah, my faith has changed over the years. I think in the beginning, I was more open to the idea of a higher power, but that sort of shifted over the years to not being as open as I was, and more finding that like it's okay to be agnostic. I think I didn't think that was an option in the beginning.
Yeah, it's so fascinating when we start to even ask ourselves, like, what do I really want here? It can be such a radical question because honestly, so much of our lives are just going through based on what we literally, I don't believe, are even consciously noticing that we're living our lives based on, you know, what we think we should do, based on what everybody around us is doing. Like it's not even a consciousness that we could be even asking ourselves, what do I want, or what do I want my rules to be for my life, or what do I want? Like we're not even aware of the question, I guess.
I love that. And that's why I'm a big fan of your work, because I feel like you just exist in that like middle space and like that gray area where like I think Alcoholics Anonymous can be really black and white. And I loved it for a long time, but like I said, I just don't think I fit in that black and white. And I still don't want to drink, but it's not because I'm bad or I'm an alcoholic, or like it's none of that. It's just because I'm act making a choice now, instead of like being told that I shouldn't do something.
That's really cool. So, when you started to consciously ask yourself that question, what do I want? What would it look like to trust me? Was there any triggering events to that?
That's a good question. I don't think there was any triggering events, but maybe. Trying to think. Yeah, I think it was mostly just like the, like I said, I really was going to people a lot for help, and I started to realize like what if I don't have this person one day? Or like, what if my sponsor isn't available? And like, it started to be challenging to think that like I would not have them. And I was like, I can't live like that. I need to live like trusting that I can make decisions on my own.
So there was some level of fear of like, even if they weren't available or if that support system wasn't there, you just had this undercurrent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so what did you, you know, when you started to think, you know what, I think I want something else or something different, and you started to go on this. I'm really curious because this is such a beautiful journey that I love for people to go on. And I have loved going on myself. Is just like, what's true for me? Like, if nobody was watching, if nobody was looking, if there was no shoulds, if there was no right, if there was no wrong, if I couldn't do it wrong, which is the big thing for me, because I have such a, and I think we all do, I have such like a pattern in my brain that says, this is right, this is wrong, do it this way, you know, and what if that wasn't true? What if nothing had gone wrong here? What if I just got to choose what I wanted and how I wanted to live? What would that look like? And so when you started asking yourself that, like, what was that process like for you?
Oh, that's such a good question, man. I feel like it was really scary. At first it was, because like, I was so entrenched with like, I mean, they don't say it outright. Some people might, but like that if you're going to leave AA, you're going to drink and you're going to die. And like, I feel like there's that like attitude. And I was really scared to be like, well, what if I just tried to explore like what sobriety means for me on my own? And it was a scary question. So I think, yeah, there was a lot of fear at first, but after that, I just discovered that like life could be a lot bigger. Like I actually feel comfortable around alcohol now, which was never the case when I was in AA. I just like, I can be around it pretty regularly. I don't love to be around it all the time, but I can be around it and like be okay and feel pretty neutral, which was not the case for a really long time. And I feel like I just am making an active choice not to drink, and that's okay.
Wow. And what shifted that comfort around alcohol for you?
I think exposure to it. Like I was like, when I was in AA, I was really afraid to be around alcohol. Like, I don't know, like they say, like don't go to like a hairdresser because you're going to get a haircut. Like don't go to the bar because you're going to drink. And like, I think for like, I was just like, well, what happens if I was around alcohol? Because I have a reason to be here. And like, I want to be around my friends and I want to be around these new, I started to make friends actually that drank too, outside of the program too. And yeah, I just found that I could do it with exposure.
Wow. That's so, I mean, it's so interesting how we treat this conversation so differently on so many levels, right? Like we're, that fenced in narrative, I can't think of another area where we're trying to do or be that in quite the same way of let's try to control our inner experience by controlling the external world and then blocking ourselves off from that external world. And one of the narratives of AA that I have really had a hard time with, and I do believe that, you know, everybody finds their own path and all ways are super beautiful. So I will caveat with that. And I think that whatever helps you, no matter what it is, like you should find the truth for you above anything any person says, right? Like we need to be seeking what's inside us, because I believe that each human being has the highest level of inner wisdom for themselves. That being said, one of the things that has, for me personally, I've had a hard time with the AA narrative is this idea of there being normies or normal people, and then there being alcoholics. And I think that I have a hard time with it for so many different reasons. Like one of the reasons that I have a super hard time with it is because, you know, medically and scientifically, we no longer use the term alcoholic. And so the fact that it's still so pervasive within this culture, but even beyond that, the term itself has so much shame and so much negativity associated with it. It's as if saying like, hey, all the support you need to kind of think about your drinking is up the staircase. So just come with me up the staircase. But the first step of this staircase is 12 feet tall, because the first step is to say, I'm an alcoholic. I am not normal. I am somehow the one who is at a loss. and who is broken and who is, you know, outside of normal humanity because I can't drink. But what it fails to say is that no human beings can easily drink repeatedly in the, you know, in large quantities an addictive substance over time and not have it have bad consequences. So it's all the blame is on like this individual, and you have to take this huge identity and label and blame. And for me, it's like saying, hey, we have all this support, but it's on the other side of this stair that's this beautiful staircase of support and meetings and community and all this stuff. But it's the first step is 12 feet tall. And the reason I think I take such an issue with it is that basic idea of not being normal. Like, you don't have to look further than the playground when you were growing up to feel how terrifying it can be as a human being to not feel, quote, normal. And of course, now we can unpack that word normal and say, I don't want to be normal anyway, but there's this basic visceral fear of not being normal. And that's one of the, I think, narratives that can be really prevent people from even seeking the help that they might need.
Yeah, that's another thing that I've appreciated about your platform is that you talk about like this range of people. You know, there's not just like alcoholic and non-alcoholic. There's like substance use is a spectrum.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is so fascinating because if you're looking at something like substance use or alcohol use disorder, in sort of the DSM-5, which is the most recent diagnostic manual that we use to diagnose disorders, which is where they don't have the term alcoholic, but they do have alcohol use disorder, there's 11 questions. And in order to have alcohol use disorder, you only have to answer two of those 11 questions in the affirmative. And two of those questions are, do you ever drink more than you intended? Anytime in the last 12 months, have you drank more than you intended? It's a 12-month time-bound question. And another one is, do you need to drink more than you used to get the same effect? And every drinker I know would say yes to those two questions. So for me, this is no longer a alcoholic normal conversation. This becomes an everyone conversation. And yet when we imagine that there's alcoholics and there's normal people, we just create this dichotomy. I would even go so far as to say that with that dichotomy in the, what I love about what you're saying is that you have found that I can be around alcohol. I don't feel triggered by it. I just don't want to drink it because my life is better. It's such a different internal narrative than I am broken. I am not normal. I can't do what all the normal people do, which is the preferred way, by the way. In correct me if I'm wrong, but what I've understood about AA is in AA, everybody wishes they were a normie. They wish they were normal. They wish they could drink in control or in moderation. They just can't. So there needs to be this separation. And I fully understand that, you know, lots of us can't drink, you know, at all because it's addictive and it's going to go to bad places. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's just that how much different of an internal narrative is it to say, I don't want to drink because it doesn't make me feel good because the substance itself is a problem for me, rather than I can't drink because I'm not a normal person. And if I was normal, I could, but I am an alcoholic and therefore I have this sort of burden to bear of sobriety.
Yeah, I love that. It's like taking your power back. And that's the experience that I've had, is like just taking my power, my self-trust, like all that back and saying that like, I actually get to make this decision. It's not just a thing I have to do.
It's so good. It's so good. I love talking about this topic, and this is such a cool opportunity to do so because I'm writing this book right now, and it's called Live Naked AF. It's all about like finding a joyful first year alcohol free. And one of the main topics that I'm digging into is this idea that we stop drinking, and it should be like one of the most incredible decisions of our lives, right? Like it should be as if you were diagnosed with a deadly disease that gave you headaches all the time and made you throw up a few times a week and had you drunk text your exes and make terrible decisions and sometimes get arrested. And now you've been given like this new lease, and none of those things are true. And yet we don't feel excited about it. in a lot of cases, we really feel negative about it. And I have a theory that I think I have a lot of research behind, that the negativity isn't about the not drinking. The negativity is about a lot of the pervasive beliefs we have about ourselves if we decide not to drink. Like, I'm not normal. I have a problem. I'm broken. I'm now on the outside of everything. And so I'm curious, in your early experience within AA, was that kind of the narrative that you had?
I feel like I had sort of the opposite narrative, that I started to believe that I wasn't broken, but maybe it was just the sponsorship family that I had, because I had a lot of like really positive role models in AA who were like, actually, like, you're fundamentally okay. Like, you're fundamentally not broken. So like, maybe I just got lucky, because I know that's not always the narrative in AA.
Oh, I love that. That's so beautiful. And that's the thing about something like AA, is like, it's really just humans, right? It's really just humans. And so while there might be things like written in the big book, like about being normal, at the end of the day, it's really just how we humans interpret that, and how we humans like, and so you can have just an incredible, incredible experience. That's really cool.
Yeah, I wouldn't change anything about my experience. I think I had a really positive experience in AA. It just got to a point where I felt like I was not growing anymore in it. And like, my growth was going beyond what I was learning in AA. So yeah, I still am so grateful for it. And I still like would recommend it to people if that's what your path is taking, where that path, your path is taking you. But I just think that, yeah, I don't require it anymore.
I love that. I love that. And one of the things that I think is so true about how the whole world works is it's a both and, right? It's both that this can work for me so beautifully for a period of time, and I can move on from it. And both of those things are allowed, and both of those things are okay. And there's space to not have to make anything wrong and any way wrong or any mechanism wrong, but then also, and then examine your own experience and say, does this work for me or does this not work for me? You know, and of course my internal experience was that it didn't work for me. I felt very uncomfortable at the one and only AA meeting that I went to. And that just was my experience. And so it's so cool to hear from all different ways and places and stages of the game. So what else has your journey been like?
Yeah, I guess recently it's been like rediscovering passions. Like, I'm like, what? Because I spent so much time in 12-step. I was in, like, at the end of it, I was in 3 12-step programs, and it was just exhausting. So I'm just like rediscovering things that I like. I joined a cornhole league, and I like play competitive cornhole, and I'll do yoga after we get off this call. And I'm just like discovering things. I throw craft parties, and I just feel like I have more in sobriety. I'm learning that like all the things that I loved as a child, and like figuring out new things that I love. So yeah, I think recently it's been about like rediscovering what makes me excited and like what makes me happy.
That's so cool. That's great. Is there anything else you want to share about your journey before I sort of ask the final question?
I think one of your questions is usually like, what would you tell your younger self, or like, what would you, right? I'm thinking about that. So what would I tell like my younger self, or even myself in early sobriety, I guess, is that like, you can't do it wrong. Like, there's no way to do it wrong. Even if you drink, even if you don't drink, like, even if you do the thing, don't do the thing, like, there's no way to do it wrong. I think for a long time, I like grasped onto things so tightly and was like so desperately afraid to mess up. And I think that there's like no way to mess up, you know, you can recover in any way. And I think that's what I'm learning, like behaviorally. Like, my other program was about sex and love. So I'm like learning behaviorally that it's okay to like fumble around a little bit, and you'll find your way eventually. And it's not linear. And so I think those are the sort of things that I think about when I think about my past self. Like, I wish she knew that she didn't have to do things perfectly. It's okay.
Oh, that's really cool. That's really cool. I guess I am curious, like, how did you find this Naked Mind and the community and things?
Yeah, your Instagram. I found you on Instagram first, and then I started listening to the podcast. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful that there's like another way. It was actually right around the time when I was leaving AA that I found your Instagram. And I think somebody suggested it to me. So that's how I found your work. And I want to read your book. You have multiple books, but I want to read This Naked Mind. So yeah, I'm excited.
Oh, that's so cool. That's just great. Well, I'm so glad that you came on to tell your story. It's so cool to hear like a different and varied story. And it's so great to just make space for all ways and all paths and honor. I love what you said to your past self. Like you just can't do it wrong. There's no wrong, right? It's just all learning and it's all growth. And if we could reframe it that way, like what a cool world we'd live in. It's just awesome.
Yeah, and how much gentler I'd be with myself. Jeez.
I know. Be gentle. It's like such a great thing. And yeah, we don't have to take sides. We don't have to take sides, most importantly, against ourselves, right? Even for our own quote unquote mistakes.
Yeah. So. And I don't like dislike AA or like it. Like it's not, I feel like I live in like the middle now. Like it's, I think it's great, but I'm like not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I learned a lot and like it's no longer for me. So I think that both can, like you're saying, the both and. I have this ampersand tattoo on me that is just about like the both and. Like I think a lot of things can exist at once.
Yeah, I think that what I've discovered to be true is like every real truth that I've found really does exist in some form of paradox, right? Like if you think of something as simple as like, well, simple and very multi-layered, but something like justice and mercy, right? Those things can be held as paradoxical. How can you have mercy when you need to have justice and vice versa? And yet I think in that both and is kind of the, you know, most freeing way to be, or, you know, both find some beautiful things with each element and each aspect of your journey and be able to let it go. I think that another way to say that I really like is, transcend and include, right? Like, so you can transcend your experience. You can say, this is no longer for me. Like you said, I wasn't growing there anymore, but I can include it in everything that was great and beautiful and multi kind of layered about all of the human experience. And another way I've heard it said is that growth is never a contradiction. So just because I'm not doing the things I used to do, you know, I'm growing. I'm not necessarily in contradiction.
I love that. Yeah. And like, I think acceptance and change are another one that can coexist, but seem contradictory.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love that so much. It's so cool. Well, what a cool story, Janelle, about really finding and listening to your own voice. And especially, I really like when you said, I went back to sort of my childhood. What did I like to do? You know, what sort of things? It's such a cool thing to think about.
Thank you. I'm so excited that I got to hang out with you today. This has been great.
Yeah, it's so fun. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you're ready to see how This Naked Mind can help you on your personal health and wellness journey and want to learn more, go to thisnakedmindpodcast.com to learn what your next best step is. Again, that's thisnakedmindpodcast.com. We have all of our free resources, programs, social links, and more available for you there. Plus, if you have your own naked life story to share, you can submit it there as well. Until next week, stay curious.